to supersede the state law if it
Thank you. Thank you.
Take their time.
If they want to make it, if they want to have it,
the state's run by socialist communists. You brought it to this.
Quiet.
They could make it worse. They could make it better. Keep it the same.
Why are we going to start putting people out?
It's simply codifying what's already on its books. It's not changing anything other than a specific reference to what is available.
Sounds like the building department's getting a lot more progress.
All right, I think I've done the best I can to explain what's happening with this. We're taking what's already available. If you were facing a zoning enforcement proceeding, you would still be able to be sentenced if you were found guilty by the judge to the state penalty. We're just letting you know here in the ordinance, this is what they actually are, and we're getting rid of the civil penalty.
What is on rule? Just open it up to the public at this point.
Yeah, let the people talk.
Hang on just a minute. We're going to get to that point.
So, trying to just move forward. 1207 again, we're just removing the specific fees because they might not match what's currently on the books. 1208C2 is adding a specific and explicit reference to the general municipal law referrals that have to go out in certain cases. When you have a zoning matter, or there's a zoning law or a zoning variance that impacts the town as a whole or other municipalities, they have to get referred to the county planning board and the neighboring municipalities. It's not explicitly set forth in the ordinance. It's done anyway. We're explicitly referring to it so that I guess the applicant would know that if they have an application that's going to trigger one of these referrals, their application is going to get forwarded to the county planning board, and there's going to be referrals made to the adjoining towns to see if they have any comment. So it already happens. We're just explicitly telling you that this is happening. 288-1300. We're just separating out the building code and putting it in its own section. I think I already got to that one. A lot of the other ones at the end, the battery energy storage systems, solar energy systems, wind energy systems, wireless telecommunications, we're just referring to where they are in the new code. .288.1202, just changing the citation to the new chapter in the code where the building and construction sections are. 1203A, the town law now does not still include the town's ability to expand the board, zoning board of appeals to 7 by resolution. So the town wants to be consistent with state law, so it's changing its law to match what's now state town law 267. 288-1203, again, this is another explicit reference to the referring certain matters to the neighboring municipalities. Certain zoning issues need to be referred to the adjoining towns if it's going to impact them or could impact them. So we're just telling you that's happening so that you know what's happening with your own application if it's something that you're involved with. 288-1203E, again, we're conforming to the town law, which is the theme. The town law 267A now says 62 days, so we're amending 60 days notice or 60 days to make a decision with 62 days. 288-1206, again, an explicit reference to notifying those adjacent municipalities. 288-1205, again, this is, we're simply removing the civil penalty framework and incorporating the state law that's already operative, 268. Section 288-1207, again, removing the specific fees and referring to the town clerk fee schedule. 288-1208C2, again, another explicit reference in the code to the fact that there's referrals to the county planning board and adjoining municipalities. And 288-1300 is, again, alerting you to the fact that the building and fire prevention substantive law is now housed in Chapter 70 and not old Section 1300s of the zoning ordinance. So that's going line by line, explaining the rationale behind, trying to explain the import, the impact of it, and I'm guessing the we're going to open the public hearing.
Yeah, before I open the public hearing, I just want to very nicely ask you to be respectful with your comments, okay? Don't talk over each other and be respectful. I'm now going to open the public hearing.
I got to read it first.
The clerk's going to read the public hearing.
Notice is hereby given that a public hearing will be held by the town board of the town of Cambria on the 14th day of August, 2025, 7 p.m. at the, this says town hall, but it was corrected in the newspaper, 4160 Vermont Road, on the adoption of the proposed local law entitled A Local Law of the Town of Cambria, New York for the year 2025 in relation to the municipal code of the town of Cambria, an abstract of which is as follows. Said local law would provide for the codification of local laws, ordinances, and certain resolutions of the town of Cambria into a municipal code to be designated the Code of Town of Cambria. The complete text of said proposed law is on file at the office of the town clerk and is available for review by any interested person during business hours. At such public hearing, all persons interested will be heard.
Okay, we're going to start out with Linda Smith. Linda Smith.
Hi. Some of you may know me.
Can we use the microphone?
She's too good. Mic.
Sure.
She's to address the board, not to the public.
Yeah, they're allowed to hear under public meeting law. I agree.
She's not
look it up.
Hello, check, check. My name is Linda Smith. I'm at 4219 Lockport Road, and I'm saying that out loud because honestly, for anyone who was brave enough to put their name on that list up there to speak today, I think everyone had a little sick feeling in their stomach, worried about either retaliation or being flagged as a troublemaker. For any of you who did not sign it, that is a sign that there is something wrong, that you guys are not listening. I've been to many meetings. This is by far the most organized you have been. And it's only because we have been demanding answers. You actually presented yourselves today professionally. I'm not quite sure why the supervisor isn't here, but I'm getting very, very discouraged with how you seem to just kind of disregard everyone continuously. My biggest concern originally was constables when that got passed. And for anyone, you can go online and actually see these meetings and how they address the public, how they disregard our concerns, how they won't listen to reason and reasonable ideas. And now here we are. Okay, with this big law change, yes. Yes, the comment is happening now. The comment is happening now.
He's got 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
That's why I'm here.
And now, you guys, surprise, surprise, after the town has approved constables, who has a lot more jurisdiction, okay, in our town, that you could, nobody on the board could even answer me. And when I asked if any of you read it, you told me, well, that's the town attorney's job. And it's on tape. You guys can see it. And now you're going to pass laws, okay, whether you're disguising them as something that's, oh, it's state mandated, it's fine. But you also have armed yourselves. And you're acting surprised that so many people don't trust you. Like, we're not dumb. Want to know who was responsible for actually writing the amendments. Was that our town attorney? Or was it a team of professionals? Who wrote them? Who wrote them? Who wrote them? How can you vote on something that you can't even recognize who wrote it? And if it was any of you, and especially for our town attorney, for you to sit there and know what the hot buttons are. You know what the hot buttons are, but yet you're still "Oh, I don't agree with it," but you're still going with it anyway. I'm disgusted. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed I'm getting talked to from friends that live in other countries that are like, "What the hell is going on over there?" You have let us all down. You've let down generations that have been here forever and built this town. You've let down people who have moved here to do better for their families. You have failed, all of you.
Okay, Charlotte Pearson.
Hello, everyone. My name is Charlotte Patterson. I live at 4611 Town Line Road. I have reached out to this board prior to this meeting, and I've asked the board to delay the vote, form the comprehensive plan committee promised to the town in their own plan, and let that group, along with a sample of residents, review these laws before adoption. It does not seem that that's going to happen tonight. I also want to address the assumption that I, along with a couple other people here, are just bitter folks who tried to create change in the, or outrage in the community just to further our political agenda, as someone put it. You did this. I just simply shared facts and allowed people to come to their own decision. Yes, some of these items in this new proposed law have been in place. And there is just a mere wording change, but now the people are seeing these laws and they're paying attention. The outrage is not about changing words. It's about the fact that a board allowed these laws to be adopted, whether it was 10 years ago or now. People are paying attention now, and they won't stop after today's meeting. This town has weaponized definitions against me in the past. Personally, I'd like to address the proposed change in our local law number 2 that would raise the definition of a farm from 5 to 7 acres. I spoke with many residents who are deeply concerned about the change, and I want to highlight both the legal and practical reasons why it should not move forward. There's no state requirement for a minimum acreage. Farms any size. Farms any size can qualify under New York State law. In fact, 4 other towns in Niagara County do not provide an acreage requirement in their definition. And another town has a definition of only 3 acres. New York State is not telling you to change the town of Cambria's definition. According to New York State Department of Ag and Markets, a farm operation under Ag and Markets Law 301-11 includes that land, farm buildings, equipment, and practices that contribute to the production, preparation, and marketing of agricultural products. Importantly, such operations may consist of 1 or more parcels of owned or rented land, contiguous or non-contiguous. The state's official guidelines for review of local law affecting farm operations also provides a definition of a farm operation that is not based solely on acreage. The state's own guideline in that document warns that imposing strict minimum acreage requirements may be considered unreasonably restrictive on farming, especially with a certified agricultural district like much of Cambria is. Minimum from 5 acres to 7 is not required by state law, and it risks conflicting with these state provisions. This change would not only harm small, viable farms, but would also rewrite the meaning of farm in every other section of our town code. Any place where farm is mentioned, from zoning allowances to agritourism uses, would not be limited by the new 7-acre threshold. Would now be limited, I apologize. I don't think it's coincidence that this would especially be damaging to agritourism businesses like Forsyth Tavern, which depend on the legal farm definition to host events, sell farm products, and attract visitors in a way that supports both agriculture and our local community and economy. Officials have attempted to reassure residents by saying that change won't affect current farms or lots under 7 acres, but there is no grandfather clause. Verbal assurances are hollow, and if the law doesn't reflect them, many here have learned that the hard way, that they will come after you. The definition of a farm impacts more than livestock allowances, affects building permits, repairs, and property rights. Without legal protection, farms could lose their statuses and structures may become non-conforming, potentially leading to denial of permits. And if, as officials say, we are not changing the acreage requirement for keeping farm animals like chickens or changing rights for current farms under 7 acres, then why change the definition at all? The citizens of the town that you represent do not want you to change the definition, and you do not have to. Consider this. A bad law that's never going to be used is still a loaded gun on the table. Visible, dangerous, and unnecessary. If it's truly never going to be used, it should not be there. Since we've ruled out that 7 acres is not a state requirement, I must ask the board, why do you believe that Cambria's law should change from 5 to 7 acres?
Your 5 minutes are up.
Robert Winslow, you're on the clock. Robert Winslow is on the clock. Robert, you're on the clock.
I think Robert Winslow will have the same thing to say, so I'll let him say it for 5 minutes now, too, instead of just one for me.
Robert, is it on? Hello?
Yeah.
Robert Winslow, 4988 Ridge Road, Lockport, in the town of Cambria. I was lucky enough to get a variance to get horses when I only had 3 acres. Then I was lucky enough, a farmer was selling property, and I bought enough. Now I got 6.8 acres. And now you want to change my farming to 7 acres, which is not right. Just like the constable law, where he's just going to be for the courts. Now you want him to do other things. And we had insurances that all he was going to be was for the judges. It didn't work out that way. If you change the farm acreage, you're putting a lot of people in jeopardy. Just because the laws are okay, you can have horses or whatever at 5 acres, that's subject to change now. Because it's not considered a farm if it's under 7 acres. I got tens of thousands of dollars so my wife can have horses. We're thinking we're getting another horse. What if you change the law next month that now you have to have 7 acres and I've only got 6.8? It doesn't make sense to change something that works. I bought out here so it wasn't a homeowners association. And I don't want a homeowners association. I just want to keep it as a town. I don't want it to be Amherst. I don't want it to be Pendleton. I want it to be that's not asking for a lot. Right? Your jobs are tough. I couldn't do it because I can't put up with stupid. So I give you guys a lot of respect for taking this crap. But you can't change something that works. That's going to affect a lot of people down the line. And I'm really nervous about it because what Wendy as a constable is changing, so I really don't have a lot of faith that things aren't going to change in the future. That's all I got to say. I just wish you'd think of everybody. Thank you.
Okay, we got Richard at 4869 Ridge Road. Richard.
My name is Richard Alicio and 4869 Ridge Road. Everybody is voting against it. You don't want anything to change in our community. You don't want to be Pendleton. You don't want to be Amherst. And by the way, is anybody affiliated with real estate or something of that nature? They may make a profit off this.
Subdivisions. Okay. Don't want them.
It could be from somebody from out of town or whatever. I get things in the mail. You want to sell your farm? What for? I like where they live. I've been there for 45 years. I don't expect to change. You people watching, Keith, I'll give you something. I used to be head of the president of Niagara County Taxpayers. Give me the law. It's called Home Rule 24. We don't have a county executive. That means you have the right to vote on their salaries.
Woo! Got it!
Woo! Here's how you do it. You get a petition, and you have to find at the Board of Elections who voted in the last gubernatorial election for the, in the town of Cambria. Last I heard, you had about 5,500 people. Take a third of that off for children because they don't vote. So what you do is you go around and collect. I used to do that. I'm too old to do it. You got to do it. But you cannot only vote on their salaries. You will vote also on the appointed people. That means the building inspector. That means the town attorney. That means town clerks, assessors, and whatever. You know, another thing, they say, well, the state's a policy. I sold some acreage just to lower my taxes by $2,000. Lo and behold, a year and a half later, I could, everybody got a new assessment?
Yep.
Because the assessment gone up just as much as I lost when I was paid off. So, in other words, $79,000, back up again. Oh, and that, don't forget now, you get the school tax when they want their piece of my action. And by the way, did you know that also that the school tax, it should go back to the last time that you put it on, you pass it on the ballot? Okay, permissive referendum, as if you voted that ballot themselves. Well, guess what? You canceled your vote. But there's enough people here that I'm finally saying about Home Rule 24. I did it in the county, did a number on the county attorney. He was both the Democratic Party leader and the attorney, conflict of interest. So if you want to hold their feet accountable, use Home Rule 24. All you have to do is get people to sign it, but you got to explain it to them. I took out the county. The town should be damn easy. That's all I got to say for now. I'll be back.
Okay, we have Deanna, 4006 Beebe Road. Deanna. You're good? Okay.
I set my mind on that.
So we have Sharon at 5693 Sabrera.
Oh, I think she was trying to get out, wasn't she? Is Deanna here?
She said she's good.
So I wanted to talk again, as I talk every town board meeting, to which in the past 6 years that I have lived here, I have been to probably 90% of them. For those of you who know me, you know that I have been very active in the fight against the industrial solar project. That's been
woo!
And again, I have a true appreciation for the farmers. I am a city girl who moved here because my husband and I followed our daughter and her husband and our grandchildren here, and we just love it. With that appreciation, I need to say our group has, the bottom line is we too want to preserve farmland, okay? And that's really the reason why we formed the group against the solar. I truly wish we could have seen you all in the past 6 years, okay? We had meetings, we had fundraisers. Again, being a part of the community and this wonderful town of Cambria involves a lot of things. So I thank you for your time.
Behind you, Sharon.
We have Roseanne at 4500 Lower Mountain Road.
Hi, I'm Roseanne Boffman. I live at 4500 Lower Mountain Road. I came because we have 7 acres. It doesn't affect us. But New York State agricultural law, a farm is not defined by a minimum acreage like 7 acres. A farm is generally defined as any tract of land used in commercial production of crops, livestock, or livestock products, and may include associated farm buildings. The size requirement is flexible. A farm can be less than 1 acre, and this is right from New York State Markets and Law, right from it. And I guess the next part I have a problem with is your zoning laws, okay? You're here and you're saying no other municipality around here has any type of imprisonment for a violation of a zoning law, okay? Not Pendleton, not Barker, not Newfane. Yes, for a noise ordinance, a property maintenance, something like that. But a zoning ordinance, there's no community. You can pull up all of them. I read them all today. Not one of them are you going to jail for a zoning ordinance. Imprisonment for zoning is uncommon in rural Niagara County. Noise, property maintenance, and nuisance codes are much more likely to have a short-term jail penalty. So why are we adding it on ours? That's all I got to say. I don't have 5 minutes worth, but that's all I got to say.
Okay, we have Don at 3933
Lower
Mountain Road. Don.
Can I speak next to my brother?
Yeah.
Sure.
When you get your mic, can you state your name, please?
My name is Peggy Schuler Chisholm. I was born and raised on that farm, 3933 Lower Mountain Road. My father, born there and died there for 92 years, as his father before him, and as my two brothers, Don and Tom Schuler, now run it. These people have built this farm. My grandparents owned the Hillside Inn, Tony and Vernie Antlick, that fed all these farmers that feed all the city people. No offense, honey. You need to do your jobs. You need to respect the people that live here. They're not city folk. They're farmers. They feed your children, they feed your grandchildren, and they feed you. Stop trying to change what's worked here since, what is it, 1818-something? Yeah, 1808. It's worked. Leave it alone. These people know what they're doing. They pay their taxes. They own land, and it doesn't matter if it's a third of an acre or 150-something like my family is lucky enough to have. Leave them alone.
Yeah. Chris Galanka, 5104 Lower Mountain. Chris?
She's right here. She asked me to speak for her. Okay. I have a relative.
Okay, can you give me your name, please?
And I think the main thing is, I'm surprised all of you people that are on the board that voted for this, looking at all these people that are so concerned about it, why don't you guys say to yourselves, this is not a good idea. I think that we should go back to what we had originally. Yeah. And the lawyer already had said that we do not have to meet those New York State requirements that you guys are so important want to meet, So why are we trying to do that? It doesn't make sense with what the people are saying.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble with this one. It could be Michaela or Michael at 2633 Youngstown Lockport. Can't read the writing. M-I-C. M-I-C-N-N-L-L Sealand 2633 Youngstown Lockport Road. Okay, so we're going to move on. Tyler Booth.
Yeah. All right, so Tyler Booth, I think everyone here knows me. I'm the owner of the 471 Tavern by need, not by choice. I also live on Lower Mountain Road. So I've sat through all this, and I know you all hate me or aren't going to listen to me, but my takeaway is, it sounds like you had someone who does not live in our town interpret our laws and then tell you what they meant again. So obviously, I think you're all in agreement that there's issues with this as it's standing. I think that's pretty clear across the board. So what I think everyone is recommending is that we take a step back, maybe get a board together with community members.
Yeah.
Maybe get everyone in one room and hash out our laws and make them something that works for our town. I'm just asking for a lot. I know you've already put 2 or 3 years into this process, but the problem is you did that privately. You did not include anyone from the community in this process. And a lot of this, it might be okay if the community trusted you. That's the world of difference here. Last meeting, the community came together and called upon the town board for accountability. We made it very clear that we do not trust this town, and that is the biggest issue on why we are not trusting you with these powers. Yes, you might promise you'll never use them, but let me tell you, I can tell you that people will. If it's not you, someone else after you. And in that, I'm going to tell a brief story that I think you've all forgotten, and that I don't talk about often. But 2021, I was accused by James McCann of building a bathroom on the second floor of my building because I had asked for a permit to build an ADA accessible bathroom in my basement. He denied me flat out and refused to give me the denial letter that I could appeal, just to be a dick. He took me to court and tried to put me in jail for a bathroom that he said I built without even bothering to ask me, ask my attorneys, or do an inspection of the building when I was inviting him to come and do that. I came to the town board stupidly, naively, and said, "Hey guys, I'm having an issue with one of your employees. I need your help." And you all ran me through the mud about it, made me your victim. And the part that is the kicker.
Do it.
My mother went to hospice. We got the call. It was time. It was my court date, my second appearance before Judge Sedita. Or not Sedita, Judge Jowdy. And my attorney called the town's attorney at the time and said, "Hey, he needs to not be there for this. Is that okay?" And Billingsley said, "No. If I didn't show up to this hearing, despite what was happening in my life, he would ask for a bench warrant against me." So say you won't put people in jail, you've never done it, you sure as shit tried.
Start clearing the room. If you don't maintain,
more good news coming up, so we just keep it down till 11.
So I obviously I never got an apology for any of that, but to be honest, that is time that I will never get back.
She's dead.
She died. I was in your courtroom because of James McCann lying. And you all knew it. I came to you beforehand, after you all knew it, and you allowed it to happen. So trust is gone. There's no trust here. You need to work hard. Get this town to trust any of you or your processes. And yes, you have a new attorney. Awesome. I was not protected then, and I don't think I'm getting any insurances that I or anyone in this community is protected now. You have built a system with a billing department designed to target people. You don't like them, you target them. So every single law has been weaponized against us. So until you can write these laws to ensure that everyone's interpretations are the same, you don't have any laws here.
Jonathan Newman?
I just would like to add on that. Last meeting that we were at, we were reassured 7 times that we were going to hold a meeting with your building department, and that never came to fruition.
And this board.
And this board tonight. We were reassured 7 times that we were going to meet with them and discuss issues regarding the building department.
Did it happen?
No.
No.
We're not talking about it.
No, we're all
good, right?
Why?
I can take the mic back. My time is up. The secret is they said that they could not coordinate the two of them in a meeting with their schedule, and it would be a conflict for them to meet with us.
Emily Taylor.
Let me back up. All right, I live at 5266. It's been a few years since we've seen each other. We are much neighbors. Oh, sorry, live at 5266 Bear Road. Moved in a couple years ago, six-ish. I live down the road from Louise. I've talked to her husband before, tried to buy land so we could do fun things at our house for our kids. We were told that was not possible by her husband. Sorry, I didn't hurt this talking in front of people. I grew up in Barker. We had horses, chickens, anything you wanted. I brought my kids out here so we could live a good life. I get constantly harassed by my neighbor. He calls the town, and what happens? I get served by you guys. Threatened to be taken to jail. Have to go to court and prove myself that I'm not running a business out of my house. When your local tree company that everybody knows drops logs in my driveway, nobody called me. Nobody showed up at my house. I had a stranger walk into my backyard and serve me paperwork to come to court.
What?
Because Park Hill dropped logs in my driveway for my wood-burning stove to heat my house. And then when I explained that to the town, they said, we have to check and see if you got a permit to have a wood-burning stove in your house that was built in the 70s. We were told we had to go to the town and prove that we didn't run a tree service business out of our house. I don't know how that we were able to prove that besides just telling you guys we weren't doing that. I've also had issues with, obviously, my neighbor. He calls you guys, tells you guys that my yard is flooding out his yard. You come tell me you're going to tear up my driveway to replace pipes that are already replaced. I explain they are. The guys are really nice. I'm not mad at them. They're just doing their job. But when you guys are taking word of mouth and acting on it, why don't you check? Why don't you back yourself up? This all tonight was a bunch of noise, hot air, and nothing. You're wasting everybody's time. I run a business, not in the town of Cambria, thank you. I work for a corporation. I sent all of my employees home early today so I could leave and be here. I followed cars here that were doing well over the speed limit to get here to make sure we were here. I told them all to get out of the building, lock the doors, and left. And I drove from Lockwood to here. I work all over Western New York. My job at my company, I permit and I do sales. I know all of those things. And when you guys come at me and tell me that I'm residential and I can easily pull up your map and say, no, I'm not, the line is between me and my neighbor and I am residential agricultural, and you want to argue with me and I shove it in your face, there's a problem. How come I know your laws better than you guys? It's frustrating, annoying. It's a waste of my time. I have 3 children at home. I don't look like it. I hear that all the time. I have a 14-year-old. She's going to high school. And I have to tell her, don't worry about the neighbor that wants to stand on the property line and stare at you and watch you outside with the dogs, because then he calls you guys and tells you, my dogs are running at large. And what do I get? Letters in the mail that I'm going to be fined. I mean, do you guys back up anything? Do you check? Because when my kid tells me another kid did something, I go and check instead of punishing my children. I mean, you guys are the parents of the town, correct? That's what you should be doing. Taking care of your kids. And they're all really mad. I just don't seem to understand why you need to change something that doesn't need to be changed. Because there are plenty of people that don't get permits from you guys.
Time's up. Duncan Ross. Duncan Ross, please.
Duncan Ross. My wife and I own Arrowhead Spring Vineyards on Town Line Road. I commend the attorney for using a full hour to go through that, as someone who got paid by the hour at one time in my life. That's an awesome skill. I'll never go. Mic closer. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. First comment is, you spent a lot of time and a lot of money going through this with the zoning, and you didn't ask if any of these laws really made any sense, if they still made sense. The new regs really read like a draft with a lot of errors. There's some omissions. I would also urge the town to form a committee to look at this, go through that old stuff that doesn't make any sense anymore, make it make sense. Make it streamlined, line it up with the state if you want. But make it make sense, and make it make sense for Cambria. The danger of going with this law as it is, incomplete, is that it's not well thought out. There's still a lot of gaps, and there's going to have to be variances and permits issued, because you guys haven't thought through all the details. Farm wineries are mentioned. You don't mention commercial wineries. You got commercial wineries at the top. We're a farm winery, but there's commercial wineries. They're totally different standard. You got wineries in the town that do use 51% of their fruit. to make their wine. You got some that don't. That's not necessarily the standard. And why would you copy and paste state ag and markets regulations into your zoning? Like, why not just refer to it? Because that's what you do in the rest of it. The town doesn't have a very complete understanding of code. We experienced that firsthand when we built. We built our house in 2004, no problems. Cliff and Don were the building inspectors. Got it done in code. When we built our big building, we had to hire engineers who helped us navigate the code with the town, which sadly aggravated the code officer and led us to 18 months of delays, documented. Piled on with lots and lots of frivolous letters, demands, et cetera, including DOT, DEC. It was a mess. I'm a different person now than I was 10 years ago because of it. And the changes aren't all good. We got through it with patience and help from the engineers, but we had the resources to do that. A lot of people don't. The town doesn't enforce its current zoning. Increasing the complexity of the rules is probably not the answer to fixing code problems. Common sense says we need simplification and fairness. The town should have to prove that they can fairly enforce the current laws before we give you guys more stuff to do and more laws to enforce. The town is inconsistently heavy-handed with some residents, while others have to meet different standards. This building doesn't have sprinklers. Pond. Looking at the tavern's issues, it appears that other businesses in town are able to operate without meeting those standards, including some wineries. And, you know, from the video I saw, you know, Louise, you've got a nice saloon there in the sunflower thing. And why aren't the standards the standards for everybody?
Corruption!
I don't think it's corruption. You had a sawmill business that was shut down a few years back. You still got a few people running a sawmill here. Why shut down one and leave others? Like, what's going on? None of these were permitted. Some are allowed. Do we want to empower the building department with new punishments and include jail time without having a fair and equal process or fair and equal laws that are administered equally and fairly? I think a lot of people have expressed that there's a lack of trust. And the lack of trust is because I go to build something and I just get abused. And finally, what are the problems we're solving here? I mean, I've been here 21 years. The town's had anxiety over anything that a new business wants to build or do. And they think of all these scenarios that may or may not happen and often don't. And then we jump through hoops. And we constantly jump through hoop after hoop after hoop. And those hoops keep moving. Is this just another anxiety attack? Why not take a step back, get a committee, get a review? Thanks.
Robin Ross.
I'm also from 4746 Town Line Road. Not surprisingly. My comment's more along the lines of, well, also that these things need to be applied equally, of course, but also the town seems to lack the ability to reach out and ask questions when it should be necessary. And the cease and desist letters are something that I'm thinking of, having received more than one myself. One of my favorites came in October of 2016 when I received a cease and desist letter from Mr. McCann, the building department, saying that I needed to turn off my cannons, my noise cannons at night. They were going off all night long, and cease and desist
make sure you make it happen. And I assume that that means I was deputized that night. Maybe we don't even need a constable because I was told to go turn off these cannons. They weren't mine. So rather than reach out and ask me, and then I had a sheriff show up at about 11 o'clock, I was kind of glad. I mean, it wasn't my cannon, it was still going off. And that sheriff did the sensible thing. He waited with me. We took a walk, me and my jammies, him in his nice uniform, to the corner of my farm in the dark, and then he could hear that the cannon was not on my property or near it, and issue resolved with him. It didn't stop the cease and desist from the town. I have asked years ago for a constable's uniform since I was deputized. It hasn't shown up yet. But the